Pickaxe.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Triforce podcast. God, it's been a long time, hasn't it? Well, anyway, we're finally here recording again, and we have Flax in Seattle.
What's up?
On a remote launch. Yeah, he sounds different. His mic is different.
Yeah.
He's using a laptop.
I bought a new laptop for the trip.
Oh, shit. Did you get a gaming laptop?
It's a big old Alienware laptop, dude. It's fucking huge.
You got an Alienware?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Fuck me. Jesus, that's pretty good, actually.
It's pretty good.
Well, you're there for what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks. And also, like, we went on holiday last week. I was in France on holiday all week, so I wanted to take a laptop away with me there, and I did. So I thought, well, I'm getting 3 weeks out of it already, and I've got one of those Vive things, and the problem is I have to lug my computer all the way downstairs every time I want to use the damn thing, and my kids are like, can we play on the virtual reality? I was like, no, Daddy doesn't want to move his computer, so this thing will run it.
Nice.
So, yeah, so I think that's good. I can just pop this
on
there.
So it's a good dad solution, it's a catch-all.
Exactly. It solves a lot of problems.
Are you wearing your trademark bathrobe?
No, I got dressed.
With your chest open? No? Because we've all seen the vlog. It was trending on YouTube.
I know.
Your first TI
Deflex
in the morning. When I looked at it, it was like number 15 on trending.
Yeah, it was nuts.
On the whole of YouTube, PFlex. You're a big star now.
No.
It's true.
How does it feel? What's changed in your life since you've become such a big star?
Bitches. Getting a lot of bitches.
Oh.
A lot more bitches.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
don't let it go to your head. Or anywhere else for that matter.
They're all over me as we speak.
Wow.
So are you recording this? How did you record that vlog? Because the audio on that vlog was really nice.
That's just on my phone.
On your phone?
Yeah, it's just the Galaxy S6.
Man, phones are crazy these days.
Yeah.
They're meant for that kind of shit, right?
It's insane.
Instagram.
That whole vlog was just, your phone propped up on a pillow or something.
Yeah, literally. I just rested on the edge of the sofa against the wall, click record. And that's that.
Damn, jeez. Son. The audio
it's
for
not
that.
Bad, is
might
it?
As well record on your phone. It's probably better than
yeah,
this quality. Jesus.
I know.
So, Seattle, man, what's it like? Give us the rundown. Is there like the buzz in the air, excitement around TI?
This is my fifth TI, which is kind of insane. I didn't expect it to come to five of them. I did expect to go to
We've all watched the vlog, PFlex. If you haven't watched it, guys, like it was like a little mini podcast.
Yeah.
You don't need to fill me in on the same old stuff.
I want new
original. Have you recorded more vlogs? Are you going to do more of them?
Yeah, one went up to about 10 minutes ago. So,
oh, no.
Okay. Well, I mean, at the time we're recording this. That's all right. So, yeah, I mean, that one is kind of low-key. I talk about my sleep, my night terrors. I talk about them quite extensively in that and why I never share a hotel room at events and stuff. I mean, Seattle's great. It's super hot this week. It's like 30, 35 degrees or something nuts like
fuck
that.
Fuck off.
It's beautiful weather.
I went out and ordered a walk this morning, got fucking rained on the whole way to the office. My umbrella blew inside out, and then I went out for lunch and I got fucking soaked.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It wasn't my fault.
It's winter has started over here already when you get back. Like,
oh man.
It's pretty bad. Yeah.
Well, I mean, before Seattle, we went to France. We went to the Vendée, which is sort of not too far down. It's on the left-hand side. It's near Nantes.
The left-hand side of France.
Yeah, nice. On the left-hand bit. And it's kind of, it's beautiful forested area, lots of farmland as well. And I've got to tell you guys about this thing called Puy de Fou that we went to.
Oh,
okay?
Man. Yeah,
now, Puy de Fou means in French, basically, a puy is a well and fou means madness. So it's kind of like well of madness. That's what I thought it was. And I said to my French neighbor, does it mean well of madness? He goes, no, not really. I was like, it's one of those things where the words are right, but it doesn't actually translate to that. So it's just, I don't know what it translates to, but it's bonkers. It's a theme park, but there are no rides. There's no roller coasters or anything like that. What you do is you queue up to go to these sort of shows, like a sort of short play, but with a combination of there's like some magic trick kind of stuff going on. There's like drama and singing sometimes and music and a lot of stuff with animals. It's just bonkers. It's absolutely bonkers. I've never seen anything like it. It was incredibly popular. It was so jammed when we were there. And there was this thing called something like L'Oiseau de Fantôme, something like that. Okay?
Yeah.
You guys
there?
Okay, sorry. You're quiet.
Yeah. The ghost's penis. That's what it means.
The penis of the ghost, obviously. And it's like a bird show. And you sit down in this little sort of amphitheater. So it's like a small theater. There was maybe 800 people there in a circle. These women come out, beautiful French women, in these amazing gowns and everything. And they're delivering this sort of very dramatic... I don't know what the hell they were saying, but there was something about birds, obviously. And it's kind of medieval. And they're talking, and then suddenly an owl, like a beautiful big owl, flies from one side of the theater to the other. This is all open air. And zooms really close down to the crowd and lands on its perch and turns around, and she talks about some other stuff. And then another owl comes out. Suddenly there's like five owls flying around the auditorium. We were like, wow, this is beautiful.
Right.
But, you know, so far, so good. And then the biggest owl I've ever seen in my life comes out of this other nook. And sort of zooms down across the audience and perches on like her arms.
Is it a man dressed up as an owl?
It's not. It's an actual owl, dude. Like, I was looking for special effects. This was a real owl. And then these guys come up and they do all this falconry. And the falcons are flying like 3 feet over your head. Like, you can feel the wind from their wings as they go over you. Sometimes the birds go a little low and like brush into you.
Do they ever accidentally poop on anyone?
No, I was waiting for that.
Are they trained to like hold in their poops?
I think they just use corks. I think they stuff a cork up there.
A little tiny owl cork.
Tiny cork.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see anyone get pooped on, but there were these eagles. Like, they eventually bring out these eagles, and the eagles are flying really low
over
the crowd. What the
fuck always going on? Is this the dream that you had? I don't know.
How is this, like, constantly one-upping itself?
I know.
What's next? Pterodactyls?
Dude,
Jesus.
Just you wait. This eagle, it kind of got confused, and it landed on this dude in the audience, like on his head. Like that scene in The Simpsons where the bird is on Krusty's head. There's an eagle on this guy's head, and he's just sort of trying to stay as still as he can, and the eagle's kind of moving around and looking a bit confused, and the falconer is waving meat at it to get it to come back.
But they have huge talons. Like, how is he not dead?
He was fine. Like, he was just chilling.
Shit,
so man. the eagle goes off, and then I'm thinking, right, I mean, where do they go from here, right? And then suddenly, vultures... These vultures come out, and they are huge, these things.
Oh, my God.
Their wingspan is huge, and they're flying, like, a foot above the heads. But, like, they fly so close. At one point, this giant vulture flies in between me and my mum, right, who was sat on this sort of bench seat. Between us, like, the feathers are, like, whacking you in the head and everything. I was like, this is unbelievable. And then all the birds disappear, and you're like, wow, God, that was unbelievable. And then the woman, the main woman in the show, she rides up this pole. She's sort of holding it with her arm. It looks like she's levitating. My youngest daughter was losing her mind. She thought she was seeing someone fly. She hadn't seen that old magic trick. You know, she was like, Dad, she's flying! She's flying! She's like going nuts. And then she gets to the top of the pole. It's like 20 feet in the air. And she waves her arm, says something in French. And every single bird that's been in the show to that point shoots from behind her. They all come flying forward in like this... sort of Battle of Britain style display. I just couldn't believe it. Everyone's in tears. We're all, we just can't believe what we're seeing. There's birds everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's like storks and cranes and ravens and owls and eagles and vultures. It was mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. And then it's just like that. It's stuff like that. There was like a gladiatorial battle with lions and tigers running around and stuff. It was like,
shit.
What am I seeing? It was crazy.
So you tweeted about this. You were like, before you went, remember, you sent out a tweet and you're like, anyone know anything about this? Like, is it any good or whatever? And like, when I saw that tweet and I saw that you were going, I was jealous because I've known about Puy de Fou for like, some time, and I've always wanted to go, and like I always like keep trying to convince my wife to go and stuff, and like we almost went a couple of times and we didn't,
right?
And then I totally forgot about it after we had kids and stuff, because like that's,
of course,
you know,
yeah
you just like forget like you know your ambitions and stuff after you have kids. and then when I saw that, I was like, oh shit, yeah, Puy de Fou, like I really want to go, like,
oh,
I heard so many good things about it. I had like, we got, because we were in like St. Malo or something, and there was like brochures for it there.
Right, right.
Like, you know, like they advertise it everywhere sort of thing. But it's not like that far away, right? It's just up sort of Normandy.
It's really
sort
not.
Of way,
it's,
right?
It's, no. It's not far from Nantes. So it's okay. Basically, I mean, Nantes, we were only there for a few hours. Nantes is gorgeous. Like, I really want to go back and see
Nantes
it.
Is like what? Like north of Rennes, right?
I'm not sure.
Is it like up that?
I mean, there's La Rochelle.
Or is it Paris? Is it north of Paris?
No,
I can't remember.
It's not north of Paris. It's quite near the coast. coast. So it's like there's La Rochelle on the coast, and then northwest of that a bit is Nantes. It's not far.
Okay.
So if you get a chance to go to that part of France, the Vendée is gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. I mean, we went to this place called the Venise Vert. So it's like Green Venice, and it's a series of swamps in the woodland of the Vendée, and they dug these canals so that when it's not swamp like the one that Smeagol, draws Frodo and Bill and what's his name, Sam into. It's like it's a nice swamp. Right. So there's like cows and there's beautiful trees and everything like this, and it's gorgeous.
Man,
it's
just trying to picture a nice swamp. Like I've been wrecked by all the stereotypes of a bad swamp.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
I mean, in any video,
I'm thinking like swamps in The Witcher and like World of Warcraft, and they're the worst swamps ever.
Yeah, people are like, you got to go to the swamp. You're like, this is gonna suck. Like it's gonna be a swamp. Yeah. There's nothing worse. But these are like nice swamps. And there's like farming and stuff. Well, there was. So the wet swamp is where they store the water to supply the dry swamp during the summer. And if it rains heavily, then the dry swamp doesn't get flooded because they put the water in the wet swamp. There's like locks and things like that. It's very clever. It's like really, really old. It's like hundreds and hundreds of years old. So you can hire these guys called Pigui, which is like they're named after this big stick that they have. It's like a big stick, a slightly bendy stick, and they push it down into the water until it bends like a bow. And then they just hold it, and it's sort of as it straightens out again, it pushes the boat along the canal. So it's like you get this beautiful silent journey through this stunning woodland. There's like animals around, and it's just this very, very deeply relaxing. And there's no mosquitoes. And we said to the guy, it's a swamp. How come there's no mosquitoes? He said, well, there are so many dragonflies here. Because there's dragonflies everywhere, just like thousands of dragonflies. Their larva eats mosquito larva. So the mosquitoes, anytime there's any mosquitoes, they get eaten, like when they're babies. So very few of them survive. So there's no big mosquito population. It's not a problem.
Yeah, but there's big fucking dragonflies everywhere.
But they're
awesome.
I don't know what's worse,
they're beautiful. Actually.
And they didn't bite you.
I know, but like,
what's to stop the dragonflies getting out of control, huh?
Yeah. What eats them?
Birds.
The birds.
Spiders.
What eats the birds, huh?
And then what's going to eat those birds?
Foxes.
The bigger birds.
Right.
Bigger
birds. And then who's going to eat all those foxes after they've gotten all fat off the birds?
Well, what do you think is in the restaurants at Point de Fou?
Point de Fou. Point de Fou is all fox and bird food. Oh,
yeah. It's all fox food, yeah.
That's the thing. You can stay. You can stay at Point de Fou in like a castle. There's a hotel like in a castle. The restaurants were really good there because it's French. So it's like the food is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went to this place called Le Relais de Poste. And it's like not medieval, it's more like a sort of, I guess, like 16th, 17th century dining experience. So they bring you like a slab of bread and a really good sort of pate. And then they bring you like a delicious cassoulet, which is like one of my favorite French dishes, like a big stew with like sausages and duck in it and everything. It's really, it's delicious. And a jug of wine and everything. And they sing all these traditional French songs and everything. It was fucking great. It was absolutely great. The only problem is the French can't queue. And there's a lot of queuing going on at Puy de Fou.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they cannot do it. I don't understand the logic, the leaps of logic, the mental just leaps that they have to make. We're in the queue.
Man.
We've been queuing. Hold on, dude. Let me just say this because I've got to get this off my chest. Okay. We're in the queue for half an hour. There's like hundreds of people queuing up to get into this thing. And this lad and his family, he's like, oh, excuse me. And everyone's letting him pass because they think he just works there or whatever. Excuse me. And he just pushes past everyone to the front and just stands there. He just wanted to be at the front. So he just excused me his way through the queue.
Yeah.
And I thought, what the fuck is that? And I say very loudly, what does this lad think he's doing? Just push as no one's going to say anything? And there was like one other English couple in the queue and they were like laughing. And they were like, I just can't believe what we're seeing. Like the two English families were just like, well, what the hell is going on? Society's crumbling. All the French guys are just ignoring him. They didn't give a shit. It's like, how could he not care? This guy's just making a mockery of your time, people. I was furious. Yeah.
Man, people do not like to queue in this day and age, though. That's the thing. Everybody's so used to getting things instantly.
Netflix. Yeah, no one has to wait. You don't have to wait for 8 o'clock for your favorite TV to show up anymore.
Nobody wants to wait for shit anymore.
You just,
like,
you know, come back and then it's on demand.
I mean, if you're in the States or in the UK, people will still queue. Like, people understand.
Yeah.
If there's a line, you're at the back of it.
You ever get, like, those loud sighs in a queue as well? They're like, like, it's the worst fucking thing that's ever happened to them. Jesus
Americans
Christ, like,
can queue, I think. We give Americans a bit shit, but they're pretty queue.
They get it.
Yeah.
Like, if you've been in a queue in America and someone jumps you, you'll get someone going, hey, buddy!
But I can understand the French not given a shit.
And
the Italians,
yeah, they don't care
as well. Just
the Chinese, the Italians, the Spanish, they don't care. The Germans will queue. It's honestly, I don't know what it is. The French just
In England, queues just spontaneously form for no reason, and people just join them.
But nobody knows like where to stand though. Like that, like a queue in Britain, I find is always like sideways and not like long ways. You know what I mean? Like everybody just stands at the front, like in a ball. Sort of thing, and like it doesn't make any sense. It's like
no, most.
But then where you're queuing, homie?
There's always someone who's been in that queue before, and they always know where the queue is supposed to go, and so therefore the queue does tend to naturally form up. I've found in places that I've queued at regularly. I don't know.
No.
We're good at queuing. I'm fucking. I. You know, you just walk along the street and there'll be a queue, and people will join it, and they'll be like, "Oh, what's this for?"
I pride myself on my queuing and the queuing of my people. Like our nation, we're good at it. And I think in a way it shows a respect. It shows a respect for your fellow citizens.
So two things about what you were saying. One, man, it sounded great, right? And two, I'm surprised I'd never heard of it because it's like, I was looking up what you were saying and it's like the second biggest tourist attraction in France behind Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
It's a huge
great.
Thing.
It's like when I was looking at it, I was like, oh, this is just like medieval times, but like on a bigger scale. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
it's a really cool thing.
You sit there and you
thing.
Watch jousting and you eat chicken and stuff and it's like, wow.
It's amazing.
It looks great. And, you know, listening to you made me want to travel more and be like, oh, you know, just get in a car, drive around, go to Puy-de-Fer, go to all these other cool places in France I've never been to. You know, that'll be fucking great. And I think I ought to do it, really. And also, it reminded me of the game that me and Sips played in Crusader Kings. So me and Sips did a little bit of Crusader Kings 2. And spoilers, Nantes, which is where Puy-de-Fer is, they were a bit too strong for me to deal with.
Poor Lewis.
So like, I've got like a little bit of a grudge against
actually
Nantes.
Dynasty like cucked died. Like he was just done. That was it.
Full dynasty cucked. Yeah. Hopefully by some hopefully that'll be out by the time this is out. But yeah, oh my god.
It's not ruined.
It was an interesting game, yeah.
It was interesting. It wasn't very long, was it, Sips? Jeez.
No,
we weren't very good either. But we might give it another go.
Speak
shit.
For yourself. I mean,
so,
I did pretty
so
good.
So you've got your fancy laptop, right?
Yeah.
Have you got have you got any games on it? Did you get any like movies on it? What did you watch on the plane? Were you able to use it on the plane?
You got
stuff?
Dad games on that, don't you? Powerful gaming laptop, and let me guess, Civil War generals and shit like that.
How do you know? I've literally got on here. Let me see what I've got installed. Let's have a look. I've got Battle Brothers.
You know how I know, Flex?
Because you see me playing it?
No, because my life adventure is very similar to yours, that's why.
Yeah, it is. I've got FTL, I've got Northgard, and Ultimate General Civil War, and of course Dota. But Northgard is interesting. I've been playing that a bit. It feels a bit like an RTS, whereas I expected it to be more like a sort of city builder, like Banished or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's really not.
I liked it.
It's quick. It's over quick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Me and Lewis played it a bit last time.
It's obviously meant to be multiplayer. It's obviously meant to be multiplayer. But I'm just playing against the AI. And I'm like, damn, just when I think I've got my food situation sorted, everyone's unhappy. Or when I think I've got my happiness situation sorted, we haven't got any wood. And so I'm like, it's a constant balancing act. And then I just think, why don't I just make a shitload of units and go and beat up this other guy? And I do that. And then I'm sort of like, well, they're still miles ahead of me. I'm like a Thane or whatever, or a Jarl. And they're like, they're building the Forge of Odin's sword. And I'm like, shit, I just suck at this game. So I kind of gave up.
Yeah, it takes a little while to get used to it all and stuff. Yeah. It's cool, though. When I was in Bristol last, me and Lewis played it a couple of times, didn't we? You guys were streaming it, and then we had a couple of games after.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I thought
it was
pretty
fun. It's okay. I'd like to play it multiplayer.
Sorry I shifted onto game chat, but no, I'm interested. I'm just interested. That's all. So you took the kids to the theme park, did you? How were they? Did they enjoy it? Was it
they
like,
loved it. They loved
it. You took Mummy Flax as well?
Yeah, there? Big Mama Flax came, and my sister and her boyfriend came along.
Damn,
and
there was like a whole crowd of you.
Yeah, it was like seven of us. It was a big old family. And it was.
Did you go specifically to go to Puy-de-Fer, or were you going to the area anyway?
We were going. Mrs. F. booked it. She's very good at this kind of stuff. She's like, I want to go to France. I found a nice place. Let's go. I was like, cool, sounds good. We went to see a friend of ours, and she said, oh, you're going to the Vendée. You should go to Puy-de-Fer. And I said, what the hell is that? And she struggled to explain what it really was because she was like, I don't know, I've never seen anything like it.
It's a theme park.
Yeah, but it's not. It's a theme park with no rides. Like, that's the thing. You expect there to be roller coasters and stuff. Like, in the UK, I think they would have that. They would have some shows, but you'd have rides and shit as well.
Right.
I think there's a carousel, but that's it. Like, it's literally just shows. And there is the nighttime show, incredible. Like, that's why I wanted to stay over, but we didn't get to see it. It's like this ridiculous evening show, like lights and fireworks and dancing and music and everything like that. And that was the original Puy de Fou, was this show. And they've expanded it from there.
Oh, I see.
So they've got like a thing with the Knights of the Round Table. They had a Roman gladiator battle, right? And the guys come out and it's the Gauls versus the Romans. Whole stadium, like a football-style stadium, like for a small club. Thousands of people are all cheering. And these guys come out and they're riding the chariots, you know, with four horses, like the Roman chariot. And we think they're just going to do a nice little slow procession around the arena. They were fucking going for it. And there's sparks flying off the wheels and the carts fall apart. And it's like, it's incredible. It's incredible. It really is something
else. We need to stop talking about this. It's just mad. It sounds
I want to go.
Are they like started invading nearby like towns and hamlets?
You believe it. Yeah, it's incredible. And then when they have lions and tigers running around, and then out of nowhere, a fucking hyena just runs across the entire thing. There's a hyena.
What?
I was like, what is happening? Like, it's just constantly trumping it. The Vikings display had, all right, just to give you an idea of how bonkers it is, it's there's quite a lot of religious iconography and sort of symbolism in it, because the guy who owns Puy de Fou is deeply religious. So there's some religious stuff in it that's kind of unnecessarily over the top. So at one point, the Pope comes out of the water in the Viking show and brings Christianity to the pagan Vikings or something. Like, we couldn't really follow the show. But then he's walking along in his gown. Like, you see the guy dressed as the Pope, he's walking along. They sort of extend the gown a bit, it looks a bit bigger, and suddenly it drops to the ground like Obi-Wan in Star Wars, and he's gone. And you're like, where the hell did the Pope go? Like, it just disappeared. And then a huge fight breaks out, and there's a fireball so big that we were sitting in the audience, and the fireball, like, you could feel the heat of it on your face. It was like a nuclear war. It was insane. I was just like, what is happening? It was crazy. It was just crazy.
That's nuts.
There's a guy getting chased by, like, 20 wild boar, just runs across the front of you. There's, like, wild boar chasing a dude. They set fire to a guy on a horse. He's on the back of a horse. And they set fire to the dude and the horse. And it just rides off. And I was like, what? This is nuts. It's just too much to see. So honestly, it was just unbelievable. You've got to see it.
That's nuts.
And we only saw four shows. There's like 12 or 15 shows or something. We only had time to fit in four. So you could definitely make it like a 2 or 3 day trip. It was incredible.
Wow, that feels like a lot. I mean, sitting through shows, that is like... I mean, we did that when we went to Vegas, you know. Do you remember Sips? We went to like 2 or 3 shows when we were out there.
Yeah,
It was a little bit like going to the movies in a sense, because you were sat down a lot. You were like...
I don't think we should have gone to too many shows, though. I think I would have been happy just have gone to like that the Cirque du Soleil one. Or one of the other ones, I guess. But like,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, it felt like we went to too many shows.
If I wanted to stay inside and watch amazing things, I'd stay and do what I normally do every day, play video games and watch movies. Yeah, but
strip down in front of the mirror, yeah.
I find it a little bit just kind of, I don't know. That's the feeling I got a little bit with Vegas, because there was a little bit too much focus on shows. But then again, like Disneyland, it's a little bit too much focus on queuing, isn't it? You know, especially if you go at any time that is a vaguely sunny day, it's going to be like just absolutely heaving with people.
Hey, listen, on the topic of Disneyland, they might be having a Disneyland in London by 2021. Did you hear about this?
What?
Yeah, it's likely to be in Kent, okay?
The Garden of England.
That's not London, by the way.
There's a big, well, it's kind of close though, right?
It is. Kent is beautiful. I love Kent.
Okay.
It's a beautiful
So anyway, there's a big site there that they're working on putting in a Hollywood-themed attraction, okay? There's no, like, official news on it yet. And the estimated cost is going to be, like, $2 billion, okay, to make this place. Yeah, yeah. So, like, and people are pretty sure it's going to be, like something to do with Disney, but also maybe something to do with Paramount Pictures as well, so I don't know.
So
you might not need to go all the way to France next time you want to go to a theme park, baby. That's right.
Yep.
You just go to Kent.
I can imagine them being a Disneyland in Kent. There's loads of space. The transport links are pretty good. Like, you can get in and out of London real easy. And do you know what I think? Do you remember on one of the older podcasts I was talking about, was it Margate? I think I was saying that Margate could really be a great place and could come up a lot. Tell you what, Disneyland in Kent, Margate's on the way up, baby. That's going to be, people go stay in Margate so they can go to Disneyland. They should think about it. Margate, get on it.
Yeah, it used to be a bit of a place, didn't it? But it's kind of, isn't it like flipping the dodgy constituency, the UKIP supporters down in Margate? Wasn't that there one of their...
That's Thanet.
Oh, that's Thanet. Yeah. That's different. Okay, but isn't that in Kent as well? Or
yeah, it is.
It could be, yeah, okay. Well, right. I take it back, Margateans. I'm sorry,
but Kent is a jewel. It's a jewel. It's ripe for the plucking. Beautiful countryside. So many good beaches, and weather's not bad because it's on the eastern side instead of the west. So it really should be something. I'm telling
you, there's going to be a water park there as well. That's like almost confirmed. So
yeah, it's
awesome.
Going
to be a big water park. Yeah,
a water park.
Yeah.
In England.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? Wait, you think we don't have water, Lewis? We've got a lot of water.
No one wants to go outside in a swimming costume.
Perfectly clean water as well.
It's freezing, I'll have you know. Even in midsummer. Oh, it's supposed to be summer now. I'm so disappointed with the English summer. Everyone in the office is a little bit like, oh, thank God it's over. I'm glad it's miserable and wet again. You know, it was too hot. Duncan's like this, Tom's like this.
Man, it was too fucking hot.
It can't be.
There's no happy medium. That's the problem. It's like either like dreary and wet or just too hot. Like, what? There's somewhere in between there that would be just perfectly fine, but like can't seem to hit it for some reason.
The British attitude to summer sums up the British mentality entirely, because when summer's on, we moan it's too hot. When it's not hot enough, we moan about the fact, where's summer? And you know what? I saw a thing on Twitter the other day where somebody linked all the Daily Mail headlines that were saying, open borders are a disgrace, Britain's just wide open, foreigners. And then in the same paper, they had another headline bemoaning the state of the borders, that, you know, it was too hard for Brits to get into countries abroad and that the borders were taking too long. And it's like, well, what do they want? They want open borders, they want closed borders. It's the same with the summer. It's too hot, it's too cold, they never have. We just want to moan.
Just want to have a moan. Yeah. Why not?
Oh my God. So are you being looked after? Are you feeling that sort of erosion of being on the road, P-Flats?
No.
Because, you know, when you're in...
No, not at all.
Are you not missing your own, food and bed yet? Have you not worried about, you haven't got any clean clothes left?
I've been here 3 days, dude.
But you went sort of straight from France, didn't you, really? Or did you come back for a day?
It was such a chill holiday, and it was so relaxing and so nice that I was so recharged. And I hadn't done anything for a week. I hadn't done any work and thought that, so I was kind of... I was revitalized, and then, got here. Valve always looks after you really well. And they the food is nice. Seattle's got amazing clam chowder. Clam chowder is one of my favorite things. So you come here, get clam chowder. There's loads of places to eat. It's America. So there's lots of, it's easy to get food and there's lots of bars. The weather is beautiful. And all my friends on the dirt scene are here. So almost all of them anyway, it's great. It's just great. I love it. I just watched Dota for 2 weeks. We do funny content. I'm working with two of my good friends. So it's fantastic. I'm loving it. And what is it? The 3rd of August? I've got another week and a half to go. TI hasn't even really started yet. The group stage is not really the start of TI. So, I know they've got all kinds of cool stuff planned for the main event. And I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. I'm really buzzing at the moment. I'm very happy. So, no, I'm not feeling wiped out at all. I'm
well,
very happy.
Good for you, Flax. But we're over here miserable, just doing the same shit.
Well, we're heading off,
slogging through the same old goddamn shit.
Oh,
all the time.
In a week or so, I'm heading off to Gamescom.
And that was obviously that's right. Yeah,
where they, I think I was there at Gamescom when they did the first TI there. I think the first, the first TI was at Gamescom.
What was that 2011? I think. Yeah,
I think that sounds about right. And that was when I was there. And it was I'd played a bit of Dota, but I didn't really know it very well. And so, yeah, I watched a little bit of it then. But I didn't really think much of it. And then, obviously, I dropped out of Dota for a few years and then came back when you sort of played me. And when I played Dota, it was almost like I played the game and I was like, why have I ever played any other game in my life? You know, this game
for
is,
real?
The only one I need. Why do I waste my time with all this other crap? this is the one I want to get good at. I need to, you know, this is enough of a game for me. It's complex enough. It's got enough in it. Like, you know, blah, 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 blah. All my friends play it, blah, blah, blah. There's always people to play with. But, you know, coming away from it is almost like, it's like being with an abusive ex a little bit. It's like you see the world again and you're like, oh my God, what was I thinking? I was stuck in this addiction of vortex of nightmare. It was like, yeah, when I quit WoW or you know, any game really. That these games are very, they get their hooks into you. That's the thing. Like, I'm, you know, the thing about, think about a book or something or a movie is that it ends, whereas these games are designed nowadays to never end, and they put you in this sort of purgatory world of never getting out of it. I don't know, but I guess other things in life are like that too, you know. Like, I met this one of my friends' sister is completely into cycling, and she is just obsessed with cycling to the point that it consumes her life. So she was coming down and visiting, and they left, like, she left a bunch of stuff at my house just for, it was like she was coming down to do cycling but also to pop round and use me as like a stopping ground on the fucking way to her next, you know, trip to she wanted to go through the longest railway tunnel or whatever in England, which is outside Bath somewhere, on the cycling, you know. She was just mad about it and obsessed and, you know, completely blinded to everything else, just addicted to it, I guess. And so it is possible, I guess, to do that with things that aren't gaming. I guess anything could be addictive if it's got the right hooks, maybe.
Yeah, look at drugs and alcohol. Like, I mean, that's nothing to do with gaming, although, you know, you could do them while you're gaming quite easily as well.
That's a good point, Sips. Yeah, I didn't think of those, actually.
No, yeah. It's like, it's amazing that other things are addictive besides just gaming.
Yeah. I think I was more addicted to, like, the social aspects of it, though, right? Like, a lot of
that's
the time...
That's the pull with a lot of games, though. You're like, WoW was the same. Like, after a couple of years, I don't think WoW was, like, a groundbreaking game anymore, but you stuck around to hang out with your guild and stuff, didn't you?
The pull with WoW, I think, is that you don't want to let your other guild mates down. You know, it's like, we need you for raiding at, like, this time, so, you know, you're supposed to be there, and if you miss out, they'll get a replacement in or whatever, and then you might not be able to hang out with your friends anymore, kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's a little bit, I don't know, like, it's a bit like scary, isn't it? Like, it's a bit of dread, I think, like, that it evokes in you if you miss out or don't appear, and you feel like you'll let other people down, and everyone else is in the same boat. They're all feeling that they'll let
everyone down. Who wants to be a letdown?
So they all stick around in these games for ages and ages and do the same old thing night after night, but they enjoy that social aspect. It's like going to the pub and drinking. That's always how I sort of thought of it, like that social aspect. You hang out with this group of guys that you get on with. You know, you're still playing Dota with Munt and Plague and all these people, PFLAX, who you've played Dota for years and years with every evening. It's just, and it's very comfortable. It's very cozy. Like, it doesn't have to be anything more than that.
I love it. I mean, like,
I don't think it's unhealthy necessarily.
I love the game. I think that it's one of those things, if you get into something, I mean, yeah, like, I remember when you were, both of you guys used to play a lot of Dota, but you guys, I mean, like, I've always been obsessing about one thing at a time. Like, I was Football Manager, I played a ridiculous amount of that. Played a ridiculous amount of that.
10,000 hours.
Just insane.
Per Football Manager game.
Yeah. it's ridiculous. And I mean, I will find a game and I'll just play that for such a long time. For such a long time. I mean, like, you know, older Civs, when Civ 4, God knows how many hours I put into Civ 4. I loved it. And I used to just play it all the time. And it's the same with Dota. Like, I'm just into it. Until something else comes along that I like in the same way, I'll play other things, but I'll always be playing this the most. So I guess it's kind of, I don't know if that means that Dota is my life's passion, or if it's just there are certain games that appeal to me. It's normally games that I don't find easy to win, which I feel have loads of hidden depths that I have yet to notice, high skill caps and interesting builds and cool stuff you can do. And I don't know. Yeah. It always feels like the games I've been into have been like that. Games that are too casual, I could never really dedicate the time to. That's it, really. It needs the depth. Like, I see people on, you know, Battle Brothers, to go back to that. There's not much to it. Like, there's really not much to it. It's like a real bare bones of a game. And I know that the guys who made it were like, it's finished. We're not doing any more. No DLC. We won't be releasing mods. This is all it's ever going to be. And a lot of people were very disappointed. They were like, I've got 500 hours in this game. There needs to be more. And I'm like, 500 hours of Battle Brothers? Like, Jesus, what are you thinking? There's nowhere near 500 hours of content in that. It's crazy. Or people who just play The Witcher 3 endlessly. Like, I'm going to complete it with a so-and-so build. And I'm going to complete it with a so-and-so build. I'm like, dude, there's other games. Like, there's not enough to these games that you could just play that game for 10,000 hours.
I don't know though. There's something to be said for just liking to be in a game though. If you really like the setting and like just being in the game and the way that the game like the character moves around and stuff like that. Like I don't know. I get it. Like I get that people could play that much Witcher or Skyrim or like Fallout or whatever because they just like the setting and they like to be immersed in that setting. Like maybe I think that's got to be it.
Yeah, they just love the aesthetic of it almost, but I feel like it is still essentially the same game. Like each time you play it, there might be some slight differences, but you know the areas you're going to go through and all the rest of it. I mean, in Eve, it's like completely open world. With Football Manager, it can be different every time, like every single time. Civ was the same, like different map, it's going to be different every time. I mean, that was for me one of the failings of Civ 5 is that it didn't give you enough choice. There were like certain paths you had to go down, although that's improved with all the mods and stuff like that. But with Battle Brothers, it's just grinding. Like, you just grind. That's it. You grind fights. Enough of your guys make it that they get incrementally better. Repeat. And apparently that's enough for some people to put 500 hours into the game. With Dota, every game is different. The combination of heroes and items and the way the game goes, they're all different. I like that. I want each time I play it, the framework to be the same, but the experience to be completely different. And that's why I've never understood why someone can play a single-player game for thousands of hours, because it's just going to be the same every time. It's like, it's going to be, I mean, not a single player game, obviously, but I mean like a structured game like Witcher that has a narrative and a flow. I didn't get it. I mean, WoW, I got it. You know, you played with friends, you had to get certain items. Yes, there were quests, but they will keep adding new stuff on the end, so it never finished. I don't know. I know games that end, I don't see how you can play them through multiple
well,
times.
Well, you say that, but I played Mass Effect 2 single player all the way to the end. And as soon as I got to the end, I restarted and played it again all the way through.
Wow, that's crazy.
I just really, really liked the game. I really liked just like being in the world of the game and stuff.
It was a great game.
Yeah, I wanted to take some different choices. I wanted to like piss a couple of people off that I didn't like near the end of the game and stuff like that. So I went through it again, played it again, and enjoyed it just as much the second time around. That's the first time I've ever done that in any single player game.
But have you done
game.
It 50 times?
No, God.
But
no.
There are people out there that have.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there are definitely people that are like, I'm going to do another Mass Effect 2 playthrough, and they'll just play through it, and they know every nook and cranny and every secret, and they know the optimal this, that, and the other. I mean, that's why like when you see people that do speed runs in games and stuff, they've played that one game. That generally, most of those games have not much depth. It's a simple path. You just have to be as optimal as possible. That's what they're into. How optimal can I be in completing this quest or this level? It's crazy. I it's the complete opposite of the way I play games.
So, I mean, yeah. Let's go back to like Dota, right? So one thing I sort of always was a little bit surprised about with Dota was how the people who play it, it tends to lead to a very specific kind of personality type who plays this game, right? And I guess that's why no teams can basically stay together for any period of time. They just, every single international I've seen, there's no way to follow a team. Like, no one sticks to a team, at least like when it was like, you know, but not using football as a particularly good example because people do transfer around and stuff, but at least certain sort of key people, I don't know, I feel like every international, it seems like I'm looking at a team and it's like, I don't recognize any of the names from this team, but the people who all used to be in this team are now spread out wildly across Dota. It's like, it's so weird. Is it, why is that, PFlex, that people cannot possibly playing the same fucking team for more than a year?
I don't think they're designed like it's, I don't think it's like that though. I don't think it's meant to be like that. I think it is meant to be a bit like football. People get transferred around or whatever and move around, try different teams, you know, like,
well, here's the thing, they brought in this roster lock system. So because what was happening was teams were swapping so much that it was, you were losing any kind of cohesion. Like, it was literally like teams were like, we lost this game, get this guy out, we'll get someone else. And it basically meant that teams never had to get along with each other, because if it didn't work out, you just get kicked, they get someone else in, no problem. And there's no transfer fees or anything like that on the whole, so you just swapped, right? People just left, and it was crazy. So they brought in the roster lock system so that there was some kind of consistency. Quite a few of the teams have been fairly consistent. They'll bring in a couple of people, but you know, there's a lot of names that have been sticking around. Like Puppy's been on Secret forever, PileiDie's been on Secret forever, EG have been pretty stable. But to give an example, to clarify what Lewis, not to clarify, but to back it up, the two grand finalists from last year, those two teams, DC, that DC is no longer that DC. The DC that's here now is a completely different team of five players. The guys that were in that DC...
Completely different five.
Completely different five. Because the team that was DC that finished runner-up last year left DC and were a Planet Odd and failed to qualify for this TI. Failed to qualify. Didn't qualify.
So what, it's the same five players?
Though. No. It's completely different five. And no, that team like has sort of disbanded.
The same five left and failed to qualify.
Yeah, so the five players that finished second in the last TI, there was a slight rejigging. I think Moo left and joined, I think, Complexity. But basically, that team that finished second, it would be like whichever team's been finished second in the Premier League last year, just selling everybody and buying an entirely new team. It's crazy, right? So that DC left Digital Chaos, that organization, formed a team called Planet Odd, failed to qualify. The new DC did qualify. They're doing okay. Wings, who were the winners of TI6, amazing team, blew everybody away. Like, everybody thought this team is going to dominate Dota. They didn't make it to TI7. They had problems with the organizations in China, the esports organizations in China. They weren't allowed to compete anymore. Team is dead. So it's like, what is happening? It's insane. It's absolutely nuts. The grand finalist and the runner-up last year are not at TI7. So there's no defending champion, not even the team. The team doesn't even exist. It's bonkers.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I'm really talking weird. About. I mean, how could you have, like... How could you follow a sport and kind of root for a team or when the hoodie that you buy from that team is, you know, fucking irrelevant within weeks, it feels like.
It is a bit weird. And I know that Hotbird, who's, maybe people might have heard of
but
him.
Is it because of the players?
No, it's not. It's the nature of esports is that the teams are very transitory, right? Because of the limitations of things like transfer fees. If you think about football, the reason the player signs a five-year contract and ends up there is because a team would have to pay a fortune to get him to come to another club, and the other team isn't going to sell and all the rest of it. In esports, I think the contracts are a lot shorter. And essentially, if it's not working out, it's a five-person team. There's no substitute that you can bring in. If he falls out with his teammates, they all hate him, he hates them, you're better off getting rid of him. And so they tend to fall out and I don't trust him anymore. He's lost the faith of the team. So the captain's gone, or the two of the teammates leave, or they want to go to try something else and everything like that. So one of the things that happens at TI is a lot of people spend their time figuring out, what are we going to do after TI? Like, we're obviously not going to win this one. It hasn't gone well. We got knocked out. We finished eighth. So they start finding out which players are unhappy on their teams and seeing if they can build a new roster or a new team post-TI. There's like the post-TI reshuffle where all the teams break up and this guy goes here. So what the fans do is they're interested in certain players. Like, people are an Arteezy fan, or they're an Envy fan, or they're a Burning fan.
Yeah.
They're not a fan of a team as much, which is weird. Because Ken was saying, the thing is, this is Hotbird, the thing with teams in traditional sports like baseball or American football or football or whatever, is that those teams are like 100 years old.
Yeah.
Your dad supported it, and his dad supported it, and so you support it. So it's different. You have an attachment to the team because it has a geographical location.
That's it, yeah. They're based around a city, so
So well, people, you know, support
your fan
a team.
Base is going to be from a
exactly.
city.
So Liverpool, you're from Liverpool, you're a Liverpool or an Everton fan. That's it. So, or Port Vale, I guess. But it's like, these are the teams that you support because you were born there and they represent, well, they used to, you know, they don't really anymore, your sort of region. So I think in Dota, if you're a Chinese fan of Dota, you'll be a fan of Chinese teams. If you're an NA fan, you'll be a fan of NA teams. That's as close as it gets. So it's more global and player-based rather than city-based. But some teams, like if a team does really well, like EG is like a dynasty team. Like, everybody knows EG. OG is the same. People do support those teams because of what they've done in the past, even if the player roster changes. People are seriously attached to OG. Now, OG, who had a green logo, their logo was just a green hexagon with OG written in the middle. They are now sponsored by Red Bull. So they've changed to a blue logo with the Red Bull logo, and they're red OG Red Bull or OG you know OG Wins sort of thing people call them.
Yeah.
But it used to be Bleed Green or Dream Green was like the slogan, but they're not green anymore because green is the color of Monster Energy Drink, which is obviously a rival of Red Bull. So if you're an OG fan and you've got all the green gear and everything, now they're blue. So what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
It's kind of like North American sports. I remember like when I was a kid, like baseball, okay?
Yeah.
The Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
They used to play in a stadium called the Sky Dome. It was called the Sky Dome mm-hmm. back in the 80s and the 90s or whatever. And it was like this really nice stadium that was like right next to the CN Tower or like the base of the CN Tower and stuff. And it was, you know, it was like iconic, right? Like, y'all, we're at the Sky Dome today, ladies and gentlemen, for the Jays game and stuff. And then, but the stadium was bought by a telecoms company called Rogers. Okay, like such a Rogers. Like, what, just call your fucking company Brian or something. Like, you know. So anyway, so of course they can't just keep it called the Sky Dome for whatever reason. So now it's called the Rogers Center. And it just doesn't have the same ring to it or anything, yeah. right? Like it, you know, the Sky Dome. Like that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
The Rogers Center that sounds like a fucking community center in like, you know, Slough or something. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I hate the renaming of football stadiums. I mean,
yeah.
Bournemouth used to play in Dean Court. Now it's, you know, it's something else. Bolton used to play in the baseball ground. Now it's like the Reebok. And it's just,
yeah.
it's sucked all the joy out
of it. I guess, like, you know, you don't normally get in, like, established sports, you know, like, again, baseball, for example. You wouldn't have a logo that had another corporate logo in it. Like that just seems to be something that doesn't happen. But with like esports, it's still not super duper established and it is going to stray away from the traditional sports
yeah.
stuff as well. Like it has to. It's just completely different, right?
I'm not sure I'm okay though, like watching a professional Dota game where all the players have got Red Bull in their name, which I assume they have, right?
Mm.
But they're called like Red Bull. Owie 5 million or whatever and stuff.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Because they're just OG. The team name is still yeah. OG, right? So
yeah, yeah, they're OG. But the Red Bull logo is in there.
Yeah. But it doesn't actually say Red Bull like in their name anywhere.
No,
like,
I don't
in
think
the
so.
Game. That used to irritate me when like players would have that though. They'd have their sponsorship in their actual player name. And that was like,
yeah.
oh my God. Anyway, like one more question before we have to like finish off this. I was interested in just finding out. So to what extent is there like a influx of new like people into the scene? Like, or is it a fairly established sort of, is there a fairly small level of people at the very, very top?
Because, do you mean in terms of players?
Well, the thing about Hearthstone, for example, is that Hearthstone is it's not as high a skill cap as Dota, I think. Like a lot of people can, it's a little bit, look, people at the top of Hearthstone are very good at Hearthstone, right? But
right.
you get this because of the way it's done through all you have to do is qualify, legend a certain amount of seasons, go to a certain amount of events, blah, blah, blah. It's not actually that. If you're really good and you're a really new guy, it's easy to get sort of discovered, I guess. Like,
yeah,
to what
yeah.
extent does that happen with like a really good Dota player who's actually like high MMR
the thing
or
is,
something?
If you imagine the MMR as being like a pyramid, right? And the closer to the top of the pyramid you get, so the higher your MMR, the fewer and fewer players you're playing with and against. Because when you're queuing solo at like 7.5, 8K MMR, which is really high, like there are
yeah.
lots of the pros are like in that bracket. The very top pros are like 9 and 10K. That's like the mid players, the absolute bee's knees players. They will queue into other pros all the time. And if you talk to the pros and the analysts who are really, really good, they'll be talking to the pros and say, oh, do you remember that pub we played the other day? Because they'll queue into each other and they'll all see each other in these games all the time. Now, if you're really, really, really good at Dota and you grind solo queue all the time, you will be playing in these games with and against pros. And they will see you and they will say, holy shit, this guy's really good. And they'll invite you to play some scrims with them and stuff like that. And if you pass muster, you're on a team. I mean, there's lots of players that have done that. Lots and lots of players have done that. That's the discovery for Dota players is all done by the players. There's not
That's
some
great.
Scout that has to go out there. The players just no. solo queue pub games. They play against a guy who's really good. They're like, holy shit, this guy is amazing. But maybe he's only good on like one hero, which does happen. Some people will grind a single like hero that's really good in that patch, get really high on the MMR. Of course, when they play in a scrim, people just ban that hero and then they look like asses and they're like, okay, I actually can't play any other heroes very well. And they suck. So it does happen.
That would be me. Well, I would never get to the high MMRs in the first place. But if I ever did, off some fluke or whatever,
they'd be like, "Oh, they bad witch doctor the guys."
I would be the asshole that looks like an asshole for not knowing how to play the rest of the game, like only one thing repeatedly.
Oh, that's great. That's a really positive little thing to end on. I think we have to end because you have to go, right? You've got like 4 minutes to. You have to get to your.
Yeah, we've got to. We've written a script for a bit that we're doing today, and I've got to go and run over it. So. Yeah,
all right. Well, thanks for joining us, PFlex.
A pleasure as always. A pleasure as always.
Thanks to everyone who's listened to the Triforce podcast this week. Bit of a weird one, I think, but
Triforce on the road. Yeah, we got to do it though. It's been a while since we had another
Dude. So it's been great to chat and catch up.
Thanks.
I'm following TI with great interest and your vlog. So yeah,
I'll try and give you guys a shout out. I will try. I've got a lot of people requesting shout outs, but you guys deserve one more than most. That's for sure.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
I love you.
Say hi to Day 9 for me.
Will do. I'm a big fan of his. I can't wait to hear.
Okay.
Right. Bye. Peace, lads. Cheers.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.